Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, that he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Amen. And our next reading is Galatians chapter 5 and the first 5 verses. Freedom in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no use to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. You, who are trying to be justified by law, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace, but by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Amen.
John 19, verse 30. He stood there and died and gave his last breath and said, "It is finished." As we are now in Lent and approaching Easter very fast, it would do us all well in preparation to focus partially on the cross and the meaning of John 19, verse 30. And just as we prepare ourselves before Christmas to celebrate the birth of Christ, so let us begin now and to focus on Christ and the cross itself. Salvation, we know, as born-again Christians, is our desire to find salvation and hope in the world in which we live. Adam and Eve bemoan the fate of those who turn away from God. "Lord, where art thou? We are lost, with no shelter, and destined surely to die." So from the very beginning, the life of Jesus Christ falls under a different sign. He is born of God. He exudes an energy that enables him to do only good, to do only good deeds. And in his words and actions, he seeks to convey to his fellow men and women a closeness he feels to God his Father that not only fills his soul, but fills our souls too. His unfailing advocacy of God and humankind actually led him to his death, his crucifixion on a cross. And despite everything that may seem to the contrary, even at the time, God his Father never leaves his side. And on the cross, a miracle occurs. In John 19, verse 30, when Jesus says in his dying moment, "It is finished." The border separating life and death is now removed. In Christ Jesus, we have the victory in the cross. Death is no longer for those who are in Christ. For now, those of us in Christ have and we are promised eternal life. And in him and him only, we have life everlasting, and we also have healing in his name. Yes, we have healing in his name. Because in John, he said, "It is finished." And he has now opened it up. And having risen from the dead, he inspires the living and gives courage to those who believe in him and subsequently dwells in one's heart who invite him in. And he invites us to follow his examples in our daily lives. And our Father subsequently to love one another and to enable one another to grow in Christ in faith. So when we take on board John 19, "No more in condemnation, in Christ Jesus I stand, and I believe in the words of the gospel, and I believe in John chapter 30, because these are the words of Christ and none other. It is finished." We either believe in that or we don't. Therefore, what does it mean when Jesus said, "It is finished"? Well, let us go back into the Old Testament, into Isaiah 53. Isaiah writes, as he does, this is the inspired word of God, the Creator, to Isaiah, when in verse 1 in 53 he says, "Who has believed our message?" The message of Isaiah 53. Do all of us gathered here this morning, actually believe in Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 5? For the message of Isaiah says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him on the cross. By his wounds," Isaiah says, "we are healed." How many of us gathered here this morning believe we are healed by his stripes, as it is written in Isaiah 53? These words of Isaiah were written hundreds of years before Christ was born, and hundreds of years before he was crucified and died on the cross found in the Gospels. Isaiah 53 prophesies those happenings, and by his stripes, by that cruel whipping across his back, by his death, Isaiah says, "We are healed." This is the truth of the word of God through Isaiah. By his wounds, therefore, by his crucifixion, and by his death on the cross, we are healed in his name. And we are healed through the authority and by faith, and not by hope, but by faith. Because John 19:30 says, "It is finished." We no longer now live in a cul-de-sac that was found to be in the Old Testament. We now live in the New Testament, life eternal, with healing in his wings. We no longer live by the Old Testament laws, but in the living life of Jesus Christ to life eternal. We've really got to get to grips with this, but I've come across so many Christians in my ministerial life that actually don't believe in Isaiah 53 in its entirety, and actually doesn't believe when Jesus says, it is finished. The New Testament and the cross has set you and me free. We must believe in that. But sadly today, there are still people who live in the Old Testament, living in hope. Maybe that's because the New Testament, to some people, is too personal and too challenging for some folk. To live in hope is not personal as living by faith in the cross. And I suppose I can understand that to some people. The cross is too intimate and too overpowering to understand what he went through because of who I am and because of my sins. But some people who live in the Old Testament find it more comfortable because they live in the Old Testament and the Old Testament ways, therefore living in hope rather than living by faith in the cross. But me personally, I need the challenge to convict me of the New Testament. Because as a person throughout my life, I've always been more comfortable living on the edge than living behind the safety barriers before I get to the edge. That's the way I live. That's not easy for Kate and my family, but that's where I am. And that's where I'm most comfortable. And I need that challenge. I constantly need to be convicted and challenged in my faith. And certainly living in John 19:30. I believe in the power of healing. I believe in the power of healing in the ministry of Jesus by his authority through the cross. For there is no greater power than Jesus and the cross. No power on earth is greater than him. Such power and authority has taken over from the Old Testament and on into the New. We must all live, work and pray in and through the New Testament and through the Gospel. David Hathaway, who writes in the vision that's on the stand out there, these are his words, not mine. And he says on salvation, we must get back to an understanding of the power of salvation. Your faith in the finished work at the cross. And he makes reference to John 19:30. And he goes on to say, the moment you believe the lie that as a believer, the moment you believe the lie that as a believer, you are nonetheless affected by your ancestors and their sins. If you believe that, you have made your faith of no effect. In other words, if you still believe and live through the Old Testament ways and the Levitical law and bypass the cross and what Jesus says, you have made your faith to no effect. David's words and not mine. In other words, we are compelled to live by faith and not have a Christian understanding of living by hope. If you live by hope, you are not living by the cross. In the Old Testament, they lived in a cul-de-sac under the Levitical law. Jesus opened up that cul-de-sac through the cross. The curtain split right down the middle, as we know, and opened up a new way of life through the cross. Hence his words when Jesus says, "It is finished." The Levitical law no longer applies to us who are born again and in Christ. So we continue on our journey now and go into Galatians 5 that David read this morning. And listen carefully to the words of the greatest apostle, Paul. In Galatians 5, he refers to it to the life of freedom. And this is what he says. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Paul is emphatic about this. The moment any one of you submits to circumcision or any other rule-keeping system, at that same moment, Christ has won the gift of freedom. It is immediately squandered. I repeat my warning. The person who accepts the ways of circumcision trades all the advantages of the free life in Christ for the obligations of the slave life of the law as found in the past. In my words and in my thoughts, what I believe Paul is saying when he uses the words and the act of circumcision as performed in the law of the Old Testament, that is, or was the law of the past, and unfortunately, there are those still alive and practice the law of the Old Testament rather than live and practice in the life and the freedom through the cross. Such people live in hope, but don't live by faith. When Christ implies on John 19, "It is finished," the Old Testament laws are surpassed by Jesus himself, by his authority, and by his wounds we are healed. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, "On the Sabbath day in Nazareth, he picked up the scroll and read from Isaiah, where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" Verse 21. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I have spent my entire ministry through the anointing that I believe Jesus Christ gave me, and in my belief in and through the cross, the belief of prayer and healings, works of Christ through his servants here on earth, the revolutionary power through the finished work of the cross, which is the power and authority bestowed upon the likes of you and me to heal the sick, to set the captives free. But, and it is a big but, we can only do that, and we can only pray in and through the cross, and we can only pray in and through the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can only pray in and through his authority and in the belief of John 19:30, and through the authority of Christ, found by living in the New Testament. So where do we all live this morning? Where do we all want to live this morning? How do we see the truth and the power of the cross? How firmly do we bring this upon ourselves to say, if you want me to pray for you, I will pray for you in and through the authority of Christ and in his belief that by his stripes we are healed. I will not pray in the hope that he may heal you. I will pray in his words and what he has said. It is finished. So therefore we have the authority. We have the authority to do just that with conviction and pray for healing in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to sing now.